Grace, mercy, and peace from God, our Heavenly Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The text is John, the 12th chapter, beginning at the 20th verse. Now among those who went up to worship at the feast were some Greeks. So these came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and asked him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew. Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus, and Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Whoever loves his life loses it, and whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, he must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him." Can you imagine what it was like, Jesus entering Jerusalem? If we were here together, I would ask you to join me in the cry, "Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." But we're not, so I'll give you a couple of seconds to shout it out on your own. Now I'm going to give you a few seconds to think about what happened a few days later when the cry was, "Crucify him, crucify him." I wonder how many voices were raised in both cries. We are fickle beings, but we do love a parade. One does wonder who the Greeks in this story were. They were probably from out of town, but they knew about Jewish law and custom. But whatever else, it seems like they were impressed by the procession, the crowds, the triumphal entry. It must have been like being in Boston during a Super Bowl parade. So, of course, they made an attempt to find out who this hero was. It sure seems like Jesus was a hero. Those Greeks may have even heard the word king floating around. In any case, he had to be important, very important, to draw a crowd like that. So many people, so much enthusiasm. But not everything made sense. He rode in on a donkey. The bigwigs, the chief priests and Pharisees, weren't there to greet him either. Could he really be some kind of a hero? Had he won a great battle, vanquished some formidable enemy? The Greeks understood what a hero was. It was part of their culture to revere great men, especially those who had suffered unjustly in the pursuit of truth and justice. So they sought out Jesus. It's not clear if the Greek men got to see him or not, but Jesus used the occasion to tell Andrew and Philip at least, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified." At that point, they may even have been thinking, "Of course, we saw the crowds, we heard the cheers, we got a maid here." Note the "we." I'm sure they liked the idea of being part of the triumphal entry. They were, after all, Jesus' disciples. But then the twist. Jesus started talking about death. "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit." It must have seemed like a riddle at the time. But there was so much of what Jesus said that didn't make sense to them yet. We have the advantage of hearing that statement from this side of the cross, so we understand it, at least vaguely, at least superficially. We know Jesus was talking about his crucifixion, and we might be willing to stop there. In fact, we must stop there, because our salvation is the fruit of his death. Nothing we did, nothing we can do, takes the place of what Jesus did on the cross. With his wounds, we are healed. But even as we must stop there, we cannot stay there. Remember what Jesus said? Whoever loves his life loses it. It's a bit scary, isn't it? Who doesn't love their life? Who wants to lose it? If I'd asked these questions a month ago, you might have well had a quick, easy answer for me. But things have changed. Matters of life and death are closer to us today. Death seems a little nearer to our door. Too near. In the brief time in the garden, Adam and Eve walked with God, and they talked with him. Death wasn't part of the conversation, though. It didn't have a place in the garden, but Adam invited death in. Sin came into the world through that one man, and death through sin. And so death, inescapable death, spread to you and me. How many generations have gone before us? They didn't want to die, but they did, because the wages of sin is death. Now, the beautiful thing is that God hasn't changed. He still wants to walk with us, with each of you, to talk with you in the cool of the day. But the debt that sin has accrued in us has to be paid. And the glory of God, and glory be to God that His has been. Jesus died that you might live. And His death is already yielded an abundance of fruit. In a different time, I would have asked you to look around and see what Jesus' work on the cross has accomplished. The lives that are now in Him. The lives that death will not consume. If you're not alone, do that right now. If you are alone, well, you are not alone. But remember what it was and will be like together. We could rest there, confident in the word of Christ, for His work is entirely sufficient for our salvation. But in our text, Jesus went on to say, "Whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life." We want to live. But what is our life for? Is it for pleasure? Is it for wealth? There have been times when those things, pleasure, wealth, and other distractions, were exactly what you and I were living for. And we have seen that even when these things are gone, desperate people will still cling to this life. Don't you know that we are not among those desperate ones? For us who are in Christ, we have already died, and our life is hidden in Christ, with Christ in God. As sweet as this life can be, it is like roadkill compared to what we have waiting for us, what Jesus went to prepare for us. We now hate those things that separate us from God. So why do we value life here at all? Jesus told us that too. If anyone serves me, he must follow me. And where I am, there will my servant be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. We are children of God, dearly loved children, and children imitate their parents, so we follow Jesus. It will not always be easy. It may never be easy on earth, here in this broken world. And we serve Him. That service may be hard too, and what we do may not always seem that impressive, but we follow Jesus and serve Him as dearly loved children, and we are with Him. As we begin Holy Week, we know it is going to be a strange one. We will not be able to be together, and yet we are together. We are the fruit of the sacrifice that Jesus made. We are the reason He suffered and died. Yes, it was because of our sins. You need to know that. But what I really want you to hear is that it was so He could be with you. He has always longed to shelter you under His wings. He has always longed to look at your face. Jesus went to the cross in humiliation, from there to the grave, from there to the skies. Now we can shout, "The Lord lives, and blessed be my rock, and exalted be my God, the rock of my salvation." Now we know that we do not need to cling to this life, because our life is in Jesus, and we will follow Him, even to the grave, even to the skies. Amen.